I felt like that was a big breach of fiduciary responsibility. I wasn't able to offer certain providers or plan design. And when I would have clients come to me and say, hey, I've heard about this. I read this article. Tell me more. I knew enough to be dangerous, but I didn't like that my blanketed answer was, well, we can't do that because of who I am and who I'm affiliated with.
Right.
Coming to Nepsis, being an RIA, IAR, the world is pretty much my oyster. We can use any funds that we want, which is great. And we really, truly do act as a true fiduciary.
Flexibility and transparency.
Exactly.
I love it.
Welcome to It's All About Clarity, the go-to podcast for bringing clarity to your financial journey. Join Mark Pearson and the Nepsis team as they share insights to portfolio management, tax strategy, and more. Whether you're interested in investing, retiring, giving, saving, advising, or tax planning, here, it's all about clarity.
Today's topic is retirement plans and the importance of retirement plans working with business owners. I'm joined with Trent Hazen, one of the latest new additions of Nepsis. Glad to have you at Nepsis, Trent. Glad
Appreciate
to have
it.
You as a part of this podcast. Yeah. You were telling me earlier this all looks kind of cool and fun, huh?
It is, yeah, and it's a privilege to be here.
Well,
to say the least.
It's a privilege to have you,
yeah,
and we're super excited. As many people know, Nepsis is growing quickly.
Yep.
We purchased a CPA firm just over a year ago. We're integrating a lot of different services in our family office framework.
Yeah.
And I really believe as a business owner myself, the importance of providing high quality benefits to my employees, also maximizing my returns, minimizes my taxes,
Absolutely.
Taking advantage of financial opportunities, and of course, providing retirement plans not only for myself, but also for my employees are important. And that's why you're here. That's why I'm glad to have you here. And I think it would be good if we could just start with your background.
Yeah.
Tell people who you are, why you decided on Nepsis, a little bit about your background and why you are as good as you are at what you do.
Because
that's your reputation.
I know, humbling, right?
Yeah.
No, I've been in the financial industry for close to a decade now, and have solely concentrated on qualified plans, 401k plans, basically anything that an employer can offer as a benefit to their employees is where I've been. I found my niche, if you will. And started as a record-keeping wholesaler, which is a mouthful. Ultimately, it just means that I work directly with plan sponsors and advisors on setting up 401k plans, helping everything from the plan design to the education to the investments with the advisor.
Which I'm assuming gave you the opportunity to learn the nuts and bolts of the process.
Correct.
Of implementing a plan.
Absolutely.
Which is important.
It is,
right?
Yep. And just kind of understanding the layers of plan design, what you can do, can't do, as far as offerings. And then from there, I enjoyed it a lot. I learned an extensive amount of knowledge when it comes to just the qualified plan, specifically 401ks, profit sharing, and joined an advisor firm shortly after that, because when I was a record-keeping wholesaler, I would help these clients and plan sponsors set things up, work direct with the advisor, and then move on to the next. And I would have these relationships that I gathered and I really enjoyed, but I couldn't necessarily concentrate on.
Sure.
And I found that there was a lot of missed opportunities from an advisor standpoint, from education, because they were looking to me when I was a record-keeper wholesaler.
Right.
Saying, what should I be doing? What shouldn't I be doing? As the expert. They weren't necessarily the expert.
Well, if I can interrupt you real quick. As one who started out as a financial advisor in the business, like most financial advisors, our experience is not retirement plans.
Yep.
And most employers don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
They work with a financial advisor, but they don't realize that most financial advisors, unless you specifically focus on the retirement plan space, they don't have the experience. And so for business owners listening to this podcast or watching this podcast, it's important for them to realize and understand what the experience is of the advisor they're working with, because a lot of things can be missed. I find it interesting that today the industry of the financial services business focuses a lot on the financial advisor.
Yep.
I don't see as much marketing conversation around the importance of retirement plans and, frankly, the pitfalls that can be detrimental to a business owner.
Correct.
And, of course, later in this podcast, we're going to have you give us a few case studies of Absolutely. Situations where these kinds of things happen.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you decided to go into this space, which I think is an underserved space in terms of the overall financial planning for a business owner.
Yep.
That includes the retirement plans that they implement for themselves and mm-hmm. for their employees.
Yeah.
Why did you choose this space in the first place? I mean, what drove you to work as a wholesaler first?
Yep.
In the record keeper space, and then move into the retirement plan business?
So I've always been infatuated with the market, just being able to buy equity in a company, whether you like it, their product, their service, the ownership group, kind of having a piece of the pie, if you will, ride the waves of their success. And very quickly, I realized when tax time came around, meeting with my CPA, of short-term, long-term gains. And this rewind quite a few years before I even got into the record keeping space on the 401k side. And just working with my CPA, I was like, I don't want to owe in on federal or state level.
Right.
How do I mitigate this? And a lot of it—
Because everybody hates getting a tax bill.
Correct. Yep.
Everyone's a lot happier when they get money back.
Exactly.
I know I am.
Yep.
Same. Doesn't happen often, but—
mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in the retirement plan space, you can't be reactive. You can't go back after the dust settles after the end of that tax year and make a change and contribute more.
Right.
It's already said and done.
Yeah.
And I realized that I was able to participate in my employer-sponsored plan, but I wasn't maximizing my contribution. I didn't even know that there was a limit to it.
When I was an advisor, I got three things I got to say, because one of the most important things you just said was you can't be reactive.
Yep.
And we talk a lot about this with our CPA firm. We do the compliance. Brian Everly's talked about it. We do the compliance well, but the compliance is really doing the taxes. It is the things that have already happened.
Yeah.
And so the CPA is having to be reactive in their ability to help people save money on your taxes. Mm-hmm. Where tax planning is important, because you're being proactive in helping that business owner or that employee save money on their taxes before they've got to pay the taxes.
Correct.
And that's a critical piece that a lot of people don't think about.
Yep.
The other thing that blows my mind, and again, I haven't been an advisor for quite a few years, and maybe it's changed, and maybe you can elaborate on this, but when I used to meet with clients, I was blown away that people were not maximizing the match on a 401k, let alone saving in the 401k. They wouldn't be, let's say the company had a 3-5% match. Mm-hmm. The employee would much rather have the nice car, the nice boat, the nice house, and all of these things that are a cost, right? As opposed to an asset that's going to grow. And they wouldn't even be maximizing the 401k plan, where the employer's giving them the opportunity to get free money,
exactly,
to double their money.
Yeah,
do you still see that a lot?
I do, and I always tell
crazy.
Employees and participants, depending on the company match, let's just say it's a dollar for dollar match up to 5%, make it easy for number's sake, and they're not contributing at least that 5%. This is the only place I can technically probably say this within the financial industry, but you're missing out on 100% return on your investment.
Exactly.
Like, you're putting in a dollar and you're getting a dollar in return automatically to go into your 401k contribution.
Right. Wow. Do you ever talk to business owners about the dangers of putting so much money, though, into the tax-deferred portion of the retirement plan? You know, because we have clients that have $2, 3, 5, 7, 9 million of qualified money in their retirement plan.
Yep.
And they say, that's awesome, I'm getting all this tax deferred growth.
Yep.
But the reality is, at the same time, that's a tax bomb.
Correct.
Right? Yep. Because it's an estate tax bomb. And when they've got to do their required minimum distributions, it can force them into a higher tax bracket as well.
Excellent.
Do you ever really get in those kind of conversations when you're meeting with your business owners and talking through the options that are available to them and their employees?
I do. And pretty much every 401k that I ever work with allows you to choose either pre-tax contributions or Roth. And the nice thing is the Roth contribution is the same maximum amount as the pre-tax. In the year 2024, it's $23,000. And not a lot of advisors know this, but from a retirement plan specialist standpoint, you can also implement what's called in-plan Roth conversions within a plan design, and any employee can choose to convert any amount of pre-tax dollars to Roth in any given year, and then essentially just pay the tax bill on it.
It's a critical strategy.
Great for planning, so you eliminate the big tax bomb that could be coming years from now, and you can diminish that and decrease it and transfer any amount you want from the pre-tax to Roth.
Well, people should be getting an understanding of why it was important for us to hire you. Number one, your experience. And number two, the fact that you partner with our advisors who work with our clients, particularly our business owners, both on the wealth management side and on the CPA side, because there's a lot of nuances in tax planning, but there's also a lot of nuances in financial planning. A lot of employees think, yeah, I don't need a financial planner. I can cookie cutter it this way and do it that way, and I can use the Fidelity or the Vanguard and their, you know, cookie cutter programs for financial planning. But the reality is there are a lot more intricacies, even for your everyday employee, where they can maximize their returns, minimize their taxes, and take advantage of financial opportunities. Of course, I should say potentially do that because there are no guarantees. But clearly, that is one of the reasons why I am super glad that we brought you on board to partner with those advisors to work with those business owners and work with those employees. Tell us a little bit about, tell our watchers and listeners, can you give an example, a case study of where you went into a plan, worked with that business owner and employees to maybe help them reduce some of the problems they were having, things they didn't even know they were not doing as part of their plan.
Absolutely, and I'll try not to get too much into the weeds.
Yeah, don't get too technical on us.
I won't, but it was a plan sponsor, a business owner, mid-50s, had about 20 employees working for him. Demographic was younger, and it was an IT firm. So very lucrative business. Everything at the end of the year would pass through to the business owner, and he had a profit-sharing only plan set up.
Okay.
He had it for close to a decade, just because he didn't understand that the difference between a profit sharing and a 401k. And 401ks always have the ability to do profit sharing. So in essence, he wasn't contributing anything from his own W-2 earned income to shelter from tax dollars. And at the end of the year, he was pretty much giving away the farm. Upwards of 85 to 90% of the profit was going to these 20 employees. Now that's a great retention tool, but he wasn't able to capitalize on his own standpoint. And just something as simple as educating him on changing the plan from just profit sharing to 401k plus profit sharing. He was able to contribute $30,000 because he's over 50 from his own W-2 earned income. Plus take advantage of the profit sharing. And again, not getting into the weeds, but changing the profit sharing equation where we can legally discriminate to a point where he's receiving the lion's share. And also on top of that, the cherry on top, implementing something called a cash balance plan, which I won't bore you with during this podcast.
Yeah, that gets in the weeds for a lot of people.
But essentially, he was able to capture 98% of the total profit being passed through to him as a retirement benefit and shelter all of that from taxation.
What is a cash balance plan? I mean, can you explain that in generic terms?
I can. I'll keep it short. It's a defined benefit plan. So,
and defined benefit plan meaning?
It's almost like a pension plan. Like you're guaranteed a benefit. Plus a stated return. And you can be very aggressive from an employer standpoint on what you can shelter and put away towards it. As a pass through to yourself or your employees. It can only come from employer dollars. Nobody can essentially participate.
So another great way to shelter funds, reduce tax, and get tax-deferred growth at the same time.
On a very aggressive level.
So cash balance plan is a good idea. That, you know, what do you think is, you know, cash balance plans, I don't even know. not super familiar with them.
Yeah.
We have a profit sharing. We have a 401k.
Yep.
But what do you think is, as selfishly as a business owner myself,
yeah,
what do you think is the biggest missed opportunity for business owners in the qualified plan space?
I think just not understanding their plan design, how their plan is set up today, and what they can potentially do.
Okay.
Whenever I meet with a client or a prospective client, I always look at it as twofold. What are you looking to do within this plan? Is it an attraction tool, a retention tool for employees, maybe to get new employees recruited to get butts in seats? Or is it for you to be able to shelter tax dollars, save for retirement on an aggressive standpoint?
Right.
And then going from there. So just understanding their current plan design, what they can and cannot do.
Right.
For those two objectives is key.
Right. Do you see often when you meet with employers, and I may not be asking the right question, but are they out of compliance in terms of ERISA rules or other government rules that they overlook, they don't understand, they don't know, that can cause fines, cause problems?
Short answer, yes. Yes.
Right.
Because whenever there is an employer-sponsored plan, and I have a couple past clients that come to mind, there's a lot of hands in the cookie jar from an administrative standpoint.
Okay.
There's the payroll individual, the HR, the plan administrator, then you might have a TPA and a lot of different providers. Well, sometimes there's turnover. The payroll lady left, and now who's responsible for making those contribution deposits? And it's just, there's a lot of potential red flags that can come. And the larger your organization, the more employees you have, then you potentially have to go through a 401k audit, and they can accrue penalties and fines that add up.
And I've heard those are expensive.
They are. And just like how I mentioned within 401ks, you can't be reactive to it. What's done is done. And
right.
9 times out of 10, probably even higher, all this comes after the tax year is done, and you can't amend it. Things like lost earnings,
that's
for
pain.
Employees, it is. It adds up.
That is pain. Mm-hmm. Is that... And those issues, those are not incumbent upon the 401k plan specialist, a person like you, is it? Or is it more on the TPA services they're getting? Who's really responsible? I suppose ultimately the employer is responsible, right? And that's what employers don't realize.
Correct.
That they sign on the dotted line and they are responsible.
Yep.
But who is the one that is responsible to oversee all that to make sure those things are happening?
Essentially, you want somebody on your side to help educate you on what is right and what you can do and what you should be doing.
Okay.
And having a good retirement plan specialist or an advisor, not to toot my own horn, is key.
Right.
Because it does fall back onto the plan sponsor and the business owner.
Okay.
No matter what way you look at it, it sounds kind of backwards, but as an employer, if you're able to offer a benefit to the employees to participate in a retirement plan, you still sign off as a fiduciary and a trustee. Even though it's a great benefit for them, you're giving them an employer match, you're giving them free money, you have to understand the plan design and run it correctly to stay within ERISA compliance. Otherwise, it 100% falls back on you on the liability.
Right,
and if
which
you don't,
is key.
Correct.
Yeah.
If you don't understand that, having people in your corner that can educate you on this, whether it's once a year trust review meetings, a couple times a year educating employees on the benefits, that's key to keep you in compliance.
Okay. That's good to know. Well, I'm glad you're working at NEPSIS because then you can help us on our 401k, making
Absolutely.
Sure we're in compliance.
Anytime.
If you can, for the watchers and listeners here, top mistakes or problems that you see with retirement plans, and maybe you've already covered it, but are there specific things that you see that are top problems that employers should be looking out for?
I'll start with one of the easiest ones. So let's say I'm a business owner, a plan sponsor, and I want to start a 401k plan, which is great. One thing that's completely overlooked is what's called the ERISA bond or fidelity bond. It's a legal bond that every plan has to have. It's the biggest red flag that I see. I would say probably about 50 to 60% of plans don't have an ERISA bond or proper coverage.
Really?
Yep. And it's the simplest thing. And it's always after the fact. They usually catch it after year one when you fill out your questionnaire and says, did you have an ERISA bond? What was the coverage for it?
Okay.
They had no idea.
Do you know generally the cost of something like that?
Very inexpensive.
Yeah.
You can go through any insurance broker that does your business, general liability.
Right.
Probably about $100 to $200 a year.
Right.
And you just have to cover 10% of the total plan assets. So it is a growing number, and it's going to fluctuate each year. So you want to make sure that you're fully covered.
Right.
Otherwise, you're technically out of compliance.
Interesting. Great stuff. Yeah. Well, let's end with the most important question of the hour, which is, why did you choose to come to NEPSIS?
It's a pretty easy question to answer.
Oh, good. I like that.
So the more I've been in this industry, the more I educate myself on what you can do, cannot do within the 401k, qualified plan, non-qualified plan space. I don't like restrictions. I don't like being told who I can work with, who I can't work with, what funds I can use, and
flexibility.
So forth. Flexibility is key. And at my previous firm, they were affiliated with a broker-dealer, and they had certain sales agreements with certain providers. And at the end of the day, I always preach, as a retirement plan specialist, as a 401k advisor, we're going to act in a fiduciary capacity.
Right.
Plain and simple, doing what's best for you, the client, not 100%. Myself.
Yep.
And I felt like that was a big breach of fiduciary responsibility.
Because of the broker-dealer.
I wasn't able to offer certain providers or plan design.
Got it.
And when I would have clients come to me and say, hey, I've heard about this, I read this article, tell me more. I knew enough to be dangerous, but I didn't like that my blanketed answer was, well, we can't do that because of who I am and who I'm affiliated with.
Right.
Coming to NEPSIS, being an RIA, IAR, the world is pretty much my oyster. There's no such thing as a selling agreement with certain providers.
Yep.
We're not siloed to one TPA versus another record keeper.
Yep.
We can use any funds that we want, which is great. And we really, truly do act as a true fiduciary.
Flexibility and transparency.
Exactly.
I love it.
So that's the short answer. Flexibility and transparency.
I love it. Well, I'm glad you're a part of the team.
Me too.
I'm glad to have you here today. Hopefully people got at least five snippets that I could go back and review and think about as it pertains to my own plan. Again, it's great to have you a part of the entire team and the family office framework of NEPSIS. And if you're listening or watching this podcast and you want to learn more and speak with Trent, you can go to nepsisinc.com and click on his email and reach out to Trent. Any closing thoughts from you? Anything you think we missed? Any questions I should have asked?
There's a lot I can talk about, but I won't bore you with that. I think just reach out to somebody who knows.
Right.
At the end of the day, not necessarily always myself. I would love for you to reach out to me, but educate yourself on what you can do and cannot do when it comes to saving for retirement and sheltering tax dollars.
Right.
Ben Franklin says there's two things you should defer in life, death and taxes.
Amen.
One of the most aggressive ways you can do that is through a qualified plan.
Great way to end. Thanks for being here today, Trent.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it very much.
Thanks.